it gives me great honor to introduce this man who just celebrated 33 years. Not only that, but he's been my sponsor for the past 10 years. Jim Marr, come on down.
My name is Jim, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jim.
I'm truly grateful that you guys asked me to speak in the sobriety capital of the world. Mm. What an honor, right? You know, I'm truly grateful to be here. You know, my drinking career is a long one. My time of trying to stop drinking is a long one. And my time of not drinking is a long one. So I'm going to make it as quick as possible and try to hit all three of them, because that's the thing I'm supposed to try to do. Anyway, I'm truly grateful to be here. If you're new around here, I welcome you, right? It's not about stopping drinking. It's about staying stop. I'm also an addict, right? So I won't mention drugs very much, but that's also a problem of mine. I also have a lot of other problems that I'm not going to get into, right? But if you listen carefully, you will hear some of them, right? I'm not going to specifically count them out, but you'll hear them. You'll say, oh, yeah, I have that problem too, all right? So I'm going to start off with a lot of people, you know, I usually don't do this, but I've been around long enough now to be okay with a few things that I wasn't okay when I got in, right? I'm a very private person, right? I do not talk about things that, you know, and the way I look at things is I don't understand how somebody can come up here and tell you all about what they are about, what they've done, stuff like that. That's just not me. So because I've been here a while and I've actually done this a few times, it's gotten to where I start being more open and more open and more open. That's recovery, right? Being different than what I got here, right? I wanted to drink at the age of 9 years old. First of all, I'm one of 12, right? Big family. 8 boys, 4 girls. And we were dirt poor. I mean, I didn't have shoes when I was young, right? Now, I couldn't tell you that when I first got here because I was so full of shame. It's not easy to tell people you don't have any shoes, you don't have, you know, enough to eat, that you're lucky if you got 2 meals a day, right? Because it's just not the way normal people were brought up, right? Most people had a loving father and mother. I didn't, okay? Most people learned how to be loving and kind and think of others and help with others. Not me. I was only taught to survive. That's it, right? So I've never thought about taking my own life. But I had no problem taking yours. See, that's the way I was brought up. To just clarify why, when I share, right, it's really hard for me because I have to tell you stuff that I couldn't talk about when I was up to, you know, first came into them for years before that, right? Anyway, I wanted to drink at the age of 9 years old. I was a shoe shine boy, right? My brothers taught me how to shine shoes. There was 4 of us shining shoes at the same time. 2 of my older brothers, me, and then 1 younger brother, right? And they knew the streets, right? We had our own two blocks, right, where no other shoe shine bus could go into those 2 blocks, or we'd kick their ass, as simple as that, right? So that was our area. And the reason that was that area is because in that area, there was nothing but bars, right? There was a few cafes, right? But most of it was all bars for the two blocks there. And that's where I was raised, right? So at 9 years old, I would see these men walking towards the bar, right? They wouldn't be talking. They wouldn't be laughing. They'd just be walking to the bar, right? I'd look in the bar, and those same guys were in there, and they were laughing. They were playing pool. They were dancing. They were having a good time, right? And I see that, and this is what I want. Let's think about it as a young boy that wanted to play baseball or football, whatever. That's, okay, that's the lifestyle of a normal kid. That's not my lifestyle. My lifestyle is this. Wanting to drink, wanting to be what those men were doing, wanted to be with the women, right? Think about it. 9 years old, and I wanted this stuff, right? So at 12, I was drinking a little bit because I knew the people in the streets. If you're raised in the streets, you know people. You know who's around, who's what, what's what, right? So in the corner, there was a cafe, right? That cafe served beer. They didn't serve hard stuff because they couldn't, okay? But they served beer. That's my first job. I got a job there as a dishwasher, 12 years old. I was happy. I they didn't have a problem. If I got a cold beer, put it in a plastic cup so people wouldn't know what I was drinking, right? So I put it in a big plastic cup, and then I'd put it down, have my music playing, and I'm just working like crazy and drinking and having a good time, right? That's how I started, right? I loved it. That's what I tried to really, how hard it was for me to stay stopped, because I love drinking. I love the lifestyle, right? So anyway, going back to that time of my youth, right, which is way back when, right, I wanted to do that. I wanted to drink. I wanted to play pool. I love playing pool. I used to practice pool for hours. I loved it. I loved the lifestyle, right? There's an old song that used to play, right? And by the way, in my days, there was jukebox. That's all far back, right? And if you knew what to play in that jukebox, you were the shit, right? If you played the right song, hey, everybody's happy, right? That's, you know, and of course, because I hung around, I knew which songs to play. So going back to, that's the way I started drinking, right? That's where I started drinking at 12. By the time I was 15, right, I got my first license at 15 on a 1955 Cadillac. I thought I was a shit. I mean, how many 15-year-olds do you know that have a 55 Cadillac driving around thinking, I'm the shit. I know what to do or not to do. I know how to make money legally and illegally, right? I'm not going to get into a lot of that because I'll be very honest with you. It's been a long time, but I still am afraid that somehow, because it happened to a friend of mine, that the past, after 20-some years, came back and bit him in the ass. So I'm very careful what I say because, you know, I don't want that to happen. And it did happen. I know because I know the guy. So anyway, I started drinking at 12. I loved drinking. 15, got my license, got everything. And I knew the area. I knew the streets. I knew the people. So I had a good time with alcohol, right? Before I was 20, that's when I was to this day at 20 years old with 2 DUIs. I was not even legally able to drink, but I already had 2 DUIs. Why? Because I partied. I loved to party, right? I'm making money. Not now, but this time at 20, I'm not washing dishes anymore. I'm actually working, right? Making money, right? And I loved it. Right? And during this time, I'm also playing a lot of pool, right? I love to go to bars, love to dance, love to have a good time. But I didn't tell you, but I don't know, men like to play around, right? They like to have a laugh over a young man. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, right, I would be shining the shoes of these barmaids, right? And then, of course, they'd be wearing these short dresses and stuff, and they'd put their feet up there, and the guys would, what are you looking at, boy? You know what I mean? Just teasing me because I got to look up. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay. But anyway, that's my lifestyle. And what I'm telling you is, okay, introduce AA, 2 DUIs, right? The description of an alcoholic, I'm not sure if it's up here somewhere, but we do have it at the 1600 Club. And you know what? It's like page 44 in the big book. So that did not apply. I didn't drink every day, okay? I could stop drinking whenever I wanted to. So, of course, I kept drinking. A natural thing to do, right? Since you don't have a problem with it. I didn't understand the progression of the disease. And I talk a lot about that, right? Because it is a very progressive disease. But do you believe it? If you're new around here, okay, let's say you barely got a DUI. You know what? Do you believe that this is a progressive disease? That's a hard one, right? I did not believe. So I kept drinking, right? Now I get another DUI. Now it's starting to get to where there's a problem here, the system, right? My biggest resentment, I'm going to tell you what my biggest resentment was, is the system. I did not understand, right? And I will get through it as quick as I can. But that DUI, I had to do a program, right? And it was called the Lucky Deuce Program. Program way back when. But you had to have more than 2 DUIs, then they put you in that, right? I did that. Right? Did not complete. Right? That was my problem. They because I didn't want to go and do jail time, right? So I'll do that. And never really actually did it. I just said I would do it, right? So of course, you know what I mean? I got that was held against me, right? So now I keep drinking, right? Now I'm drinking on a bicycle because it took away my license. But I still was drinking. I loved drinking. I loved the lifestyle. And every once in a while, I'd go ahead and drive. Once I started drinking, that's another thing I didn't understand. And you gotta look at this, right? And think about it. When you start drinking, do you have control of what you do? Or do you lose control? I would always lose control. I would say, I'm not going to drive. I'm going to drink. I'm going to stay in this bar. I'm not going to leave this bar, no matter what. Guess what? Somebody would say, oh, man, there's a party over here. Let's go. There I go, right? If I happen to have a car at the time, get in the car and drive, okay? So now I'm on a bicycle. I get a DUI on a bicycle, right? And the way that happened was you drink with people like you, right? I didn't know until I came to AA what a normal drinker was. Do you know what a normal drinker is? I had not a clue. I never drank around normal people. A normal drinker. The big book says a normal drinker is somebody that drinks two or three drinks, starts feeling the effect, and stops. Well, fuck. I don't know. I will cuss every once in a while. They don't throw me out. Anyway, that's not me, right? Once I start drinking, it's on. It's on until the wheels fall off, right? That's it. So basically, I had to understand the progression of the disease. So anyway, I got drinking with a guy, another alcoholic, right? And we got on our bicycles because he's also on a bicycle because we seek lower companions. And we took off from this bar and somehow we went and hit each other. We were both so fucking drunk, we just smashed into each other. Here comes the cops, right? Another DUI, right? Now, I start looking at this. It's, oh, man, this guy's got 4 DUIs. He's got a DUI on a bicycle. He's got a problem. We're going to have to do something, right? Now, my first DUI cost me $250, right? My last DUI cost me over 10 grand. Now, I resent, the big book is so cool. The way it tells you stuff. It says resentment is the number one offender. What is the resentment? Being pissed off. I was so pissed off because my first DUI cost me $250. My last one cost me over 10 grand. And it's the same offense. I've got a sick mind. I know there's people in this room that don't understand that, that think you should know better or that why. Because I have a warped mind. The doctor's opinion says we have warped our mind. I had a warped mind, did not even know how fucking warped it was. But it was, right? That's the problem. So now, right, starting to lose all control, right? Now I'm drinking because I'm resentful. I'm pissed off, right, because of the system and what's going on in my life and these stupid programs they put me in. Because I knew I'm not stupid. I was raised in they're already punishing me, right? Then they get some, I've got to be careful with the kids, some dumbass, right, that started this program, and he's a lawyer, okay, or a judge, and they've started this program that they want me to do. Why? Because they want my money, not because they give a shit about me. They don't give a shit about me. So what? More resent? More? What the? You know what it is? It's like, anyway, trust me, right? Now I'm drinking because I don't know how not to drink. They don't understand. That's why I love this fellowship, because they understand in these rooms. They don't. They did these steps because they know how to keep me sober. An alcoholic of my type. You might not be an alcoholic of my type, right? And that's okay, right? But the deal is, you will probably get there if you continue to drink. But most serious drinkers, they cop out. And if you don't know what that means, they take something that they know might hurt them, but they can't deal with life, so they're playing Russian roulette. And they know it, but they can't not deal with those feelings, those emotions, those resentments, those fears, the way people look at you. And trust me, people were looking at me like, what the hell is wrong with you, man? What's wrong with you, right? Now, another DUI, right? I'm doing time now, right? 60, 90 days. Another program, right? Called the SMART program, which I don't know why they call it the SMART program, but it's really dumb. It's not smart, right? But anyway, to make a long story short, like I said, I got to keep an eye on that watch, that clock. Anyway, that's pretty bad, right? But my biggest thing is that people laugh about it in these rooms because I share this at my home group, right? I got a DUI on a forklift. Now, how the hell do you do that? Does anybody in here got no. No. It's like, but I want to get into the joy of recovery. I love recovery. I love it. Because they took an insane guy and brought him back and then made a man. A man that's responsible, a man that cares, a man that's understanding. I love AA. I sponsor guys. No problem sponsoring them at all. No issue. Because I trust in the third step. God's in charge, not me. I'm just an instrument. I'm just there. And if I live the steps, if I do what I'm supposed to be doing, it's easy. It's easy, right? I don't tell them what to do or not to do. As long as they don't drink or use, hey. Then they get into their little messes, you know. And then we see how much recovery they really have. It's like a test. I'm watching. Okay, here it is. Here's your test, buddy. See what you do, right? Most of them, not all of them, but most of them will go through it and they'll learn and they'll say, oh, God. But some do, you know, drink and use again. So the deal is today I have to understand my disease. My disease is very cunning, baffling, and powerful. Why do they use the words cunning, baffling, and powerful? Why? Because it is. This disease centers in the mind, all right? You might not think so, but you got a warped mind. The doctor's opinion says we have warped our mind, right? But it's hard to believe, especially if you're not that bad, right? If you've only like started the one DUI or you had a few too many drinks and you're driving home, you had to go through one of these checkpoints, and you think, well, if I would have gone the other way, I wouldn't have gotten, right? So of course you keep drinking, right? All right. Let's figure it out, right? How many times have you gone to a meeting? I know I've gone to thousands where a person says, yeah, I didn't think I was an alcoholic, but then I kept drinking. Then it got worse. I've never heard a person say that it got better. Everybody says it gets worse. So why do you think it ain't going to get worse for you? Because nobody wants to admit that they're an alcoholic or an addict. Why? Because now we have to do something about it. I have to deal with life. And it is not easy without picking up a drink. When I got here, I was a freaking mess, right? I couldn't believe it myself, right? Now, I didn't finish telling you, but I winded up with 10 DUIs, right? That's ridiculous. I know it's ridiculous. And there's a few people in this room say, now that guy, he needs to be here. He's got a problem, right? But we're not that bad. If I ever get even close to that guy, I'm going to stop drinking. But how many times have you seen, right? In the big book, I love the big book. I study your big book. I didn't say we. I said study it. Understand your disease, right? You don't know what the disease talks about women alcoholics? The women in this room know what it says about women alcoholics? It says very plainly that you're going to get sicker faster than men. How do they know that? Where did they get that from? From experience. They know alcoholism. They see it, how it operates. And the deal is, I want to ask somebody a question right now, right? Why does, in chapter 3, it says, I love this, right? Even those with great emotional and mental disorders do recover. Why did they put that in there? What the hell? They're talking about this guy. Great emotional and mental disorders. That's me. Right? I wasn't that way when I was born. How did I get that way? Because I drank and I kept drinking. Right? That's the whole deal. Right? So for me, I have to understand that I can't have one. But I'm not thinking about it. If we were all just, we're not going to drink. No matter what, we're not going to. We'd fucking kill each other. Right? Not what this is all about. Not at all. It's we don't want to drink. There's a difference. If you still want to drink, You're like the boy whispering in the dark. 152 in the big book. Study your book. What does it say there, 152, about the boy whispering in the dark? Very plainly it says there, he wished that one day he could take a few drinks and get away with it. Is that what you want? Take a few drinks to get away with it? Be honest with yourself. I'm sure there's a few in here that say, yeah, I'm honest with myself. Yeah, like that. Yeah. That's the deal. I have to realize that I can't take not even one. And it's not easy. Because I got to go through resentment. I got to go through all the problems. I have to go through meetings. I have to deal with the meetings. I don't know what meetings are around, what they're like in this room. But trust me, we have our little, you know. And it's cool. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I was taught very by people that were sick like me. If you're taught by somebody that's not that sick, they're going to teach you how a not that sick person does it. But if you're taught with somebody that's real sick like me, you're going to be taught how to do it with like I do it, a real sick person. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you ever leave a meeting, you are screwing yourself. Simple as that. I don't give a shit what's going on in the meeting. Simple. Keep it down, right down to it, man. That's it. So if I say that to my sponsorees, what do you think? They're looking at me and they're saying, okay, fool. You're not leaving a meeting no matter what. That's what you said, right? So now that just, you know, you just shit all over the place, you're going to sit there no matter what. That's what this is all about. That's why. If you ever wonder why we get along more or less, that's the reason. Because we know that we need to deal with each other no matter what, right? So today, you know what I mean? I am truly grateful that, hey, you don't work the steps, you live them, all right? You live the steps, right? That third step is so important. I had a deep resentment towards God when I got here. I could go on and tell you, you'll see, like I told you in the beginning, yeah, this guy, he needs to be here, or I don't know how the hell he made it, right? Because trust me, I had a deep resentment towards God because I'll go as quick as I can. That's the only thing about me sharing is I got to go really quick. I had two sisters. I told you I had four. Two of them became nuns because they could not stay with my dad. My dad was a real mean alcoholic, right? So they had to leave. So they became nuns, okay? As soon as he passed away, both of them got out of not being nuns anymore. Okay, they got out of, right? One of them got married, right? And she wanted kids really bad, right? So they kept trying and trying to have kids. And, of course, at this time I'm drinking, but my other brothers would tell me what's going on. Okay, make a long story short, right? She couldn't have kids, right? She could not have. So about 6 years of their marriage, they decided to adopt two kids, a little boy and a little girl. So they went to Mexico. They got a little boy, little girl, less than 1 year old. She is so happy. Everybody's happy. Everything is great. Good. Everything is good, right? Thank God, right? Right? Okay. Now, she got pregnant. Oh, wow. She's going to have her own baby. She's going to have her own baby, right? And everybody's happy. She's happy. Okay. She goes through the thing. Having the baby, she dies, and the baby dies. And I'm drinking. I'm going, what the hell? They say you're a loving God? There's no freaking way. Why did you allow this? You destroyed this two kids' lives. You destroyed this. You did all this. Why? There's no reason for this. I can understand bad things happening to bad people like me. But she was a good person. A good deal. Right? So how is this loving God allow this stuff? So I was whacked out. I drank like you wouldn't believe. I almost killed myself. I got in a serious accident. I was on a blackout for days. I don't know, 3 or 4 days. And I ran through a red light, hit two cars that were crossing, banged them both up, banged another car, winded up all messed up with a broken arm, broken leg, bleeding like crazy. And I'm crawling away from the accident, just like a freaking animal. And a cop goes, what's wrong with you? I'm sick, man. That's the problem with the disease. It wants to kill you. It doesn't give a shit. It wants to kill you. Now, that's the deal. So for me, right, that's why I had a deep resentment towards God. So when they, that lucky when I don't know, they told me, okay, what's the second step say? Power greater than yourself. Doesn't say God. That's how I started. And I said, well, what does that mean? And I said, whatever you're comfortable with. That's what I started. That's how I started. And the God of that understanding was just, hey, do you understand me? That's what I prayed. Do you understand me? And I was talking to God. And the answer was, yes. Then you understood why I messed up. Right? And the answer came back right. You know, and that's how I started. So today, I have a God of my understanding. I like the way they put that. A God of your understanding. Because we can have the same names of God. Our God could have the same first name. But we can have full different understanding of that God. You know what I mean? So my understanding of my God might be different than somebody else's. And that's what's important. So in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I love it, man, because they open the doors wide open to you. They don't shut them on nobody. I don't care who you are, what you do not do, whatever. It doesn't matter, right? And that's the deal. For me, they had to do that, right? I came in here out of a treatment center, right? And when I got out of that treatment center, they told me, you are a very sick person. We don't know what's going to happen to you mentally, but we know this. You got to go to all the meetings you go to, and you got to share. You got to say something. Because if not, you're going to sit there in your sick mind, get resentful, get upset, get pissed off, and drink again. Right? So I had to share. You should have seen the first meeting I went to at 1600. It was a night meeting, right? I'm sitting there scared, man. Scared to death, shaking, nervous. I was like, thought I was going to have a heart attack. It's like, but I'm looking at the clock, like there, and I'm saying, I got to share, man. I don't want to share. These people are going to think I'm crazy. These people are going to say, you know what? You're too sick. You got to go. You can't stay here. You can't stay here. We're sorry, but you got to go. So I'm looking at the clock. It's 10 minutes to 9, right? At that time, the meetings were from 8 to 9, right? And I go, my name is Jim, and I'm an alcoholic. I don't know what the hell. I'm sorry about these kids. But you know what? I don't know what the frick I'm doing here. And I don't want to be here. And you people are freaking crazy. You're the one that's crazy. What do? I get up and I take off. I don't even wait for the closing prayer. I don't wait for somebody to say, well, no, I just took off, man. If I'm, well, hope that guy never comes back. Anyway, come back the next day. Oh, come on in. Come on in. Like, I never done anything. What's wrong with these people? Did they forget what I did last night? There might have been a few of those people here last night when I freaked out, right? But they didn't say anything. They said, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'll tell you, if you're not as sick as I am, thank you, a higher power, or if you don't believe in a higher power, just say thank you that you are not that bad. But what I share a lot about it is we'll get that bad for you. Not to make it harder on you, to help you, right? I sponsor guys, man, and I tell them what this disease is all about. I don't sugarcoat it. I don't do like, okay, you know, you're going to be all right. No, you're going to have hard days. You're going to, you know, want to kill somebody or hurt somebody. I don't care. Go ahead and hurt them. But you're not going to drink or use over it, no matter what, because most of my guys are dual addicted. And they go, okay, okay. And then they do it, and then they go, oh, God, what did I do? You know what I mean? I said, okay, now what? Now what? You know what I mean? We work through it together, right? That's what I'm here. I'm now better than any alcoholic in this room. Even though I've got 33 years, right, I do things that I don't even like to talk about them sometimes because I don't like, see, I have my own issues. I don't like people that think they're above. If some guy comes up here and says, oh, I do this and I do that and I am another, I'm Mr. AA and yeah, I'm like you. I gotta be careful of my words. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I don't like that, so I'm really trying not to do that a lot. But how can I tell you what I do today without putting myself in that position in a way, right? Because I go to 3 meetings a day every day. Now, you could probably say, well, why the hell does he do that? I have no desire to drink or use. I haven't had a desire to drink or use in years. So why do I do that? I have to learn how to deal with people, places, or things. The big book says on page 62 that we create our own problems, right? I don't want to create problems for my life. I ruined too many years of my life as it is. I don't want to ruin another minute. So I go to meetings and I learn. Self-discipline. Discipline yourself. Learn, okay? Learn what you need to learn so that you'll be better, right? And that's it. We're not perfect, but we're better. I like that in these rooms. I like to go to meetings. But I also have a lot of self-discipline, right? And when I share, I tell people, look, I will not go to a meeting, right? And I will not do this. And you hear it all the time, and I think it's wrong, period. They'll say, and I'm just pointing this way. I'm not pointing at anybody. But they'll say, I was here when so-and-so came in, and he was a freaking mess. He was this and that and everything. And now look at him. Oh, he's got 5 years now. Oh, he's great. Oh, we should make a statue of that guy. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, what the hell is wrong with these people? What if that poor guy goes out? Now, how much harder is that going to be for that guy to get back in here? I just messed that poor guy up. You see, that's the deal. I have to understand what I do and do not do. That's what's so important, right? I love the rooms of alcoholism because I love the young people. Where else do you know that you can go where the young, the older, the men, the women, we mix, we get together with each other, we have things, we go out to eat. We have dances. We have a good time. We're having a convention, right? Please come and join us. It's a 52nd district convention. It's not Santa Maria's convention. It's all our convention, right? There's people from local that have been involved in that convention. It hurts me when I see people that get involved and then stop staying involved. Because we need you. We need everybody, right? Because it's important that we help ourselves. Our fellowship is very, very important. Because think of it, we've got 90 years. Right? That's how long our fellowship. I'm getting older now. All I want, and this is crazy, all I want to do is see AA's 100th birthday. Do you know when that is? 2035. Okay? I want to live to see that. After that, take me, right? That's how important it is to me. How important is your recovery? If it's important, what the frick are you doing for it? Are you saying, I should do this, or I should do that, or I get involved. I don't like to go to steering committee meetings because there's always problems, there's always trouble, there's always this. Well, yeah, that's part of the fun. There you get to see who you're really dealing with. You're not getting to see a phony. You're getting to see the real person. That's what this is all about, right? So when I go to those meetings, I go and I go, okay, we're going to have fun tonight. You know what I mean? And that's the deal. You have to be able to laugh. Laughter is good. I love to laugh. I love to have a good time, right? Are you having a good time in your recovery? I hope so. If not, why not? You know, it's simple, right? Recovery is beautiful. Trust me. Live the steps, right? It's all about living the steps. If you are restless, irritable, and discontent, why? Because you're trying to control people, places, or things. You're trying to be the director, page 60 in the big book. You're trying to direct people. You cannot change your husband. You cannot change your wife. You accept them the way they are, and things will be okay. I didn't say it was easy. It's not, but hey, trust me, it's the way to do things, right? To accept people exactly where they're at, and it's not easy, right? There's some people that are going to just get under your skin, right? And those are the ones that you pray for. Those are the ones you try to say, hey, I'm going to be with that person. No matter if anybody else wants to be with that person, I'm going to be with that person, right? That's what's important. And no matter what happens in these rooms, right, we try to do our best. Right? No matter what. Right? So you know what? Like I said, live the steps. Right? My favorite step, 10, 11, and 12. Right? Give it away to keep it. But what am I giving away? Right? I'll tell you what I'm giving away. It's on 164 in the big book. It says our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you do not have. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great, great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Clear the records of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us and trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. That's the whole deal right there, man. Anybody with time should be doing that right there. Exactly, the 161 of the big book. And I'm not talking 10. I'm talking 1-2 years. Anybody that's gone through the steps, right? That's why this fellowship is so important, because we pass it on. We help each other. We don't abandon each other. We don't say, well, I got mine. Well, if you get yours, fine, but not my problem. No, we make sure that we try to get you to get yours, right? Just like it says, right? In Scripture, it says, those that will be last will be first. That's the way our fellowship is. The triangle, right? Unity, service, and recovery. Are you in that triangle? I'm not saying that to put people down. I'm saying that to help you. Because I know the gift of being in that circle. It's like, okay, there's a candy store over here, and they're giving candy away really cheap, right? I'm telling you, go to that candy store. Come here. Come here till you want to be here. Not till you say, I have to be here. No. I don't have to be at a meeting. I want to be at the meeting. It's a whole different deal, right? So trust me, man. If you can't wait to get here, you're on the right track. If you're having trouble getting here, and the biggest mistake people make, right, they stop going to meetings. They get 2 or 3 years. They get the wife back. They get the kids back. They get the job back. They get all the ducks in a row. And guess what? They stop going to meetings. And then guess what happens? Something happens, and they're not centered, and they pick up the drink again. Stay connected, no matter what, right? I know it sounds like I'm preaching a lot, and I'm, you know, trying to, you know, build up AA, like, you know what? But like I said, if you ask people that understand what I'm talking about, they will tell you, yeah, that's the key right there. That's the key that you need to understand. The more connected you are to the fellowship, the more you live these steps, the more you give it away to keep it, the better it's going to be for you, right, and countless others. That's what it says in our book, right? So I'm truly grateful that, hey, the third step prayer is very important. God says, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou will. Relieve me of bondage of self. I am the problem. Remove me of bondage of self so that I can better do thy will. Take away my difficulties and victory and bear witness to those I would help. And thy power, thy love, thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Right? I'm not a saint. The guys I sponsor know that. They kind of go, wow, our sponsors are a little bit more messed up than we are. That's cool. But hey, they're connected, right? The guys I sponsor, trust me, I am not special. I text my guys every morning, all of them. Why do I do that? Well, some people say, oh, you got to text me, or you got to call me every day for 30 days. Hey, who's the sick one here? They're sicker than you. Why are you doing that to them? Text them, call them, help them, right? And once they get to used to doing that, they'll do it to others. So now they're passing the message. That's what this is all about, right? So like I said, a lot of times that I share, I know that I share, like I might do more than, but I was sicker than most. Remember what I came in here with. How many of you guys know somebody that's got a DUI and a forklift? And how that happened? Very simply, like I told you, once I start drinking, everything is possible. I will do anything because I lose control. I have no self-control. If somebody says, let's go do this, let's go rob a bank, and I need the money for a drink, be careful, okay? That's how sick I get. So you know what? You might not be that bad, and I understand that, right? But I also like to, when I hear ladies share, and I use that word, ladies, and they share about their feelings of their kids, how they feel about, you know, being a mother and having that kid suffer because of their drinking or their using, right? That hurts. I know what that hurt is like. You know, even though I'm not a mother, I know because I can feel that. When I go to a meeting, I am not listening for my ears. I'm listening to my heart. It's totally different, right? It's totally different. Come here till you want to listen from your heart. It's totally different. If you're still listening from your ears and you're hearing the same thing, or you're going to meetings and you're hearing the same people sharing, oh, not him again. All right? The deal is, when that starts happening, that you're shutting yourself off from the Spirit of God. Simple as that. Right? You have to have that open mind. You have to be able to listen from the heart, not the ears. It's totally different. Right? Trust me. Start coming here till you want to come here and listen from the heart. Right? And the thing of it is, for me, is I'm truly grateful that, hey, oh man, I love this place. You know, I don't know who put that up there, but hey, that's cool. That is cool, right? Because they understand what this is all about, right? And I love these rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. They saved my life. They gave me a life worth living, right? So if you're new around here, it's not about stopping drinking or using, about staying stop. And the benefits of staying stop are amazing. Trust me, right? If you don't believe me, talk to your sponsor. Especially if they got a few years and they've gone through stuff, and they'll tell you, yeah, I've been through some rough waters. In the year 2017, I lost 3 of my brothers the same year. But what was I doing? I was going to meeting. And I was talking about my brother's dying of cancer. I was sharing it at meetings. I say, my other brother's got heart disease. He's dying of heart disease. I was going to meetings and sharing about it. Right? So I was working through it. So when it happened, I'm okay. Right? I didn't do like so many people. They stopped going to me. And everything. Now all of a sudden they go, oh, my brother is dying. My brother's dying. If you would have been sharing that meeting, it would have been easier for you and you wouldn't have been all whacked out. As simple as that. So I'm truly grateful to be here. If you're new around, it's not about stopping drinking. It's about staying top and being okay with it, right? I'm not fighting alcohol or drugs, right? I love the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I appreciate you allowing me to come here. I'm sorry if I offended anybody. I truly am. That's not what this is all about. If you need help and you're a male, I will help you. But you have to do your part. I'm not going to carry you. Right? I will help you. I will help you up, but I'm not going to carry your ass. Okay? Simple as that. So we're going to end with the prayer. All right? I know you all know the third step prayer. I just said it, right? And I love that prayer. I love what if you say it slowly and really understand what it says. I like to end with that, if that's okay with you guys. So God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me, and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them, bear witness to those I would help. Of thy power, thy love, thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Thank you, guys. God bless.
All right, let's give it up for Jim one more time. Yeah.